You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So you just die in the future.
You just have this respirator
to wear.
Yeah, that's the only, you have to basically set it to what your place and time and space is oxygen was.
But or Andrew in the chat was talking about time, and I pointed out that, you know, we weren't in the same physical location because the sun moves and we move around the sun, so we're way far away from where we were. And he's like, God damn it, you just ruined everything.
No, that's why you go back in space and time.
You have to warp space.
That's why you gotta have a TARDIS, because TARDIS can do that.
The wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yeah. So if you guys ever wondering what the heck we talk about when the red button isn't live, we're not live. This is what happens behind the scenes. The key holders. The key holders. They get to see all that. But anyways, hello everyone. Welcome to an exciting episode of Low Key on the We Are Libertarians Network. I am your host today. My name is Harry, aka The Moving Target. And we're gonna have an interesting episode today. I do want to talk about a little about stuff that's going on in Hollywood. Vincent sent me a cool meme that he needed to explain, apparently. Try to explain it behind the scenes, but I realized that the key holders didn't have every, you know, I didn't hit record, so the key holders weren't getting a lot of that. So I was like, you know what? Let's wait. Do it live. We'll give it to everybody so everyone can experience. But as you guys know, I do not fly solo. I'm going to bring everyone else on. The other person would do, because we missed something last week. This is totally my fault and some of his. I'll blame him too. But it was also Reinhold's birthday. So I wish everybody a happy birthday to Reinhold. We did miss that.
Oh, hey, I didn't even know.
Everybody wish Reinhold a happy birthday in chat. Okay. For the birthday boy, you know. So
after a certain age, it doesn't feel like a celebration anymore. Yay, you're closer to death. Yay. Yeah, I
don't know. Hey, it's one more year that you stayed alive.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we lost Paul Rubens today, so.
Yeah,
we did. And he was just about, 13 years older than me?
Oof. Same age as my mom. Mm. Yeah.
He looked better at 71 than I look now. So that's great. That's fun to know.
Yeah, well, it just clearly shows you don't do enough drugs. All right, so the other person we've got on the show is got Vincent. Vincent, you know, say hi. Actually, meme bombardier.
Hello, I'm here, as per usual, talking about the least politic part of things.
I was drinking water, and you just kind of just stopped.
Yeah. That's what made it funny. Yeah.
So Vincent was happy to know that there was actually absolutely nothing happened politically in the last week. So
nothing
at all happened.
Major things happening, like capitals being poked by things, but that's either here or there.
Yeah, absolutely nothing happened. Oh God, no! Oh man.
We can't talk about that without our Russian correspondent, producer Paul. So
hold on. I'll bring him in. All right, we'll just change this whole topic. It'll be fine.
That's later.
We'll just change everything. You know, screw it. You know, I did get to brought Dear Leader to the studio this weekend. Talked to him and showed him my ideas for moving the stuff out of the bet, like the crappy layout to a better layout. He hates the acoustics of the room, but I keep telling him, like, dude, unless we're recording studio quality, most of the noise gate doesn't care about that room. I don't care how small you think this room is, how much noisy and vibration is that. We've got such high quality radio equipment, it won't care. It will not care. So gonna run a test. We'll find out. I'm trying to tell him, like, it won't care. It will not care. You know, but here or there. But yes. Pulled him past today. He was doing his very private, but he had a very private battle with cancer. We lost him. We all know him from when his starring in several movies, like the movie Blow. Loved him in Blow.
Mystery Great Man. Movie. It was the Spleen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. The Mystery Man. Great movie. Great movie. Oh, man. Yeah. Also, Pee Wee Herbert's Play. Yeah. Pee Wee. Also, that. Yeah. Comes in everything. Pops up everywhere in all kinds of different, like, fun movies. It's always there. Always around.
He was in Meatballs 2. Mm-hmm. Actually.
I've never seen Meatballs 2. What the heck is Meatballs 2?
How uncultured are you?
Ryle's like, you tell him you haven't seen that movie that only 7 people have seen?
Okay, I came out a year before I was born.
Yeah, I definitely didn't know Meatballs 2. If you didn't know, I definitely didn't know what Meatballs 2 was.
Sequel to Meatballs. A 1979 movie.
I'll say Meatballs, you know about, right?
No.
You don't know Meatballs 2?
Sequel to a 1979. I know Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs, sir. Yeah. I know Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs.
Hey, Christy.
Hi, Christy. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Meatball is no idea. Sorry.
Yeah, what is this movie?
It was basically an attempt to recapture Animal House, only set in a summer camp with Bill Murray.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen this. Probably didn't know it was called Meatballs, though. I may have seen this. Maybe. But all those, like, 70s, 80s, you know, like adventure camp movies all look the same after a while. It also sucks that, like, you see all these, like, these camp movies and stuff like that. There's not many of these camps left because of people like
these. So John Larroquette was in Meatballs 2 as well. And he's one of my favorite actors. He's part of the reason why I have the name Reinhold, by the way.
More Reinhold trivia for you. All right. So today's topic, what I really wanted to talk about, which I was trying to get into last week, was all about this Hollywood residuals. But before we get into that topic, I'm going to tease that, put the little teaser out there. We're going to do like this because, like, it's all this Hollywood stuff has been going up there, has been, like, messing with my feed, and I don't know. I'm in trying to get some empathy and see what's going on out there, but it's really freaking hard for me. Really hard. Even I'm doing research for this, reading stuff, I'm like, I'm going to need someone help. I want to have empathy for people. I want to have empathy. I'm finding it really hard. But I was sent a meme in chat about one of the because it's about one of the animes that I get ready to frequent, like, I want to know about it. So Vincent, stage is yours.
So recently there was a Gundam series that came out called Gundam Witch of Mercury. Mm-hmm. And the anime was very successful. People really enjoyed it. It made Gundam the third most profitable thing for Namco Bandai for last year. The Gunpla for the Ariel, the main Gundam in the show, mm-hmm. Soul was the highest selling Gunpla they had, like, ever. And the show ended. Spoiler warning for the ending of the series with the two main leads, who are two women, married. And people liked it. They're like, "Oh, that's cool. They did it. They actually went through with them being together, etc."
Women married.
So there was an article in a Japanese magazine called Gundam Ace, where they were talking about Witch of Mercury and how they get married at the end. And Namco Bandai reached out and go, "Can you get rid of that? Say that's not canon. We don't want that. It's up to the fans' interpretation."
What?
Yes, they had wedding rings, and one was called sister-in-law, but it's up to the fans. It's open for interpretation. It's open for interpretation.
This is what the fuck?
So within 24 hours, they flipped the reception of their series because Bandai decided to take something that people really enjoyed and go, "Yeah, no, that it's open to fans' interpretation." Even though they were engaged episode one, they confessed their feelings throughout the series. They literally have wedding rings and called sister-in-law, and they go, "It's open to interpretation." So it literally had a 50% negative to positive swing in 24 hours. Like, it was like a 78% positive reception for the series, and within 24 hours, it was dropped to 28.
See, this is why you buy physical copies, okay? Yeah.
So the thing was that since it was in a magazine, they've reached out and basically tried to make it non-canon. Because they it's obvious that they're trying to sell it to the markets that don't see that it's appropriate.
Yeah.
And by them saying it's up to interpretation, it allows them to try to have their cake and eat it too.
Yes.
But instead, it just pissed off everybody who enjoyed their series for no reason. because it came out of nowhere. It was unrelated to anything that was happening. It was the first official statement they made about the series after it ended, which was correcting an article.
All right, if I'm honest,
hey, yeah, you know, go woke, go broke, right?
This isn't the first time they've done this.
No, it definitely probably isn't.
Usually, that means there's maybe a Gundam Witch of Mercury 2. They do that too. They mess with the ending, and because they want to extend it. It's like, this was very popular. Boom. Keep going.
We need to keep going. That's why we have the Gundam Seed sequel 20 years later.
Yeah, pretty much. Or Double Zeta, which I find out, like, my love of women come from watching Gundam Zeta as a kid. I only know that from rewatching the series.
That's hilarious.
When you go like, "Oh my god!" It's like, anyways, my original waifu. That, anyways, let's just go. Let's move on. But no, yeah. Because they've done this before with Camille, the guy who killed several different people, committed war crimes because someone was getting made fun of him because he had a girl's name. The strongest new type, Camille Badan. They retroactively, instead of him dying at the end of Zeta Gundam, he was a healing coma.
Oh, I didn't know they were pulling Superman back then.
Healing coma. He's in a coma.
They're doing the Kryptonian healing coma in Gundam.
That well, you have to understand, like, they had a lot of backlash because they kind of like murdered their, like I said, most of the main cast in the last six episodes. It just said, "All right, let's just start murdering people."
But yeah, so there's been a bunch of memes of it's open for interpretation.
Open for interpretation. For
things that definitely are open for interpretation.
That's not
hits the meme. saying that Trace is Char. He's like, it's open for interpretation.
That's to be honest.
He definitely is Char.
To be honest, that's half the joke of Gundam Wing in the beginning. He's like, is this Char? Da-da-da-da-da. You're Char. I'm so not Chuck.
Bro, everyone is just open for interpretation.
It's funnier this way.
So yeah, it's just, it's one of those things of people seeing this backlash or something they've really enjoyed. It's for the people that are like really into that that genre, the Yuri genre and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like one of their first big series that people actually like talked about and cared about as like a big, big main franchise thing that wasn't in its own like corner.
Yeah.
That's and right. Then they just come in and get retconned out of existence. and everybody's like, this doesn't make any sense.
Like, why would you come in and just do this? Like so, I said, could be the make of the sixth season.
It's open for interpretation. Just they're making a second season. But
I don't know. This is wild.
Yeah, it's one of those things of when you sell your whole series on it and then just go, nah, it ain't like that, though. They were roommates.
They were roommates.
They were roommates, though.
Ah, see? I told you. Benson. They were roommates.
They were roommates the whole time.
Roommates the whole time. Oh, God. All right. So let's move on to the main topic now. Because I'm having a hard time, like, as you guys have been knowing, like, the SAG-AFTRA, like, so the screenwriter, the screenwriters in Hollywood and now the actors in Hollywood are striking for dealing with their contracts. And it's been going on for, what is it, a little over a month now. The writers went first, and then the actors went afterwards. And so they have been putting all the stops to this because, and what they're going against, which some of them might go for, they don't want to, they want something. They want controls in place for so the studios don't use AI to basically use their past work to make new work, and then not get a cut of it, not get paid from it. Completely respect that. You know, you're building it off their things like that. You're not getting any money for it, or not be able to use it at all. You know, I come to understand that. That I get behind. I'm completely with that. What I can't get behind. It's like the idea of like these these residual payments, and that's where my stuck ass of I'm not gonna like really support a lot of these people in the first place because a lot of the problems are their own making, but you know it's more like I want to be able to have some respect to it, and you know like so and I really just want to because like my feeds and everything else has been like just filled about this writer strike, the actor strikes, TV shows being canceled, or things that I knew like was greenlit coming down the path. Like, probably not going to come. Or this is the last bit of this show you're going to get unless something is going to happen. And if it doesn't happen anytime soon, that show's canceled. You know, it's what is it? Not 2008 over again. You know, when we're going to get inundated with reality TV. You know, of course, I did say to someone out the other night, like it'd be interesting if they started doing like Survivor Classic, kind of like WoW Classic, because Survivor's been going on for so long. They redid Survivor Classic, bring back some of the classic stuff for Survivor. I think right, I was like, Survivor Classic, is that on? It's like, oh, what, Survivor Classic Edition? I know, classic, old school, not the newer, like, goofy stuff. I understand they're trying to change everything up, but classic Survivor. Like, in the first 7 seasons, you know.
So is this the only way we're actually going to get Dr. Horrible, too?
See, I don't know this time. All right, so because... I posted some of the articles, like, because the guild has been all right, like there's some of the BS is going on too, because the guild has given waivers for certain actors to work and some actors not to be able to work. So the Hollywood Reporter reported on which I'm like because Sarah Silver's like was yelling about this because certain A-list celebs were still working during the actor's strike because they were giving waivers to work on non-studio films. They're working on independent films. So they're still working. They're working on independence because that was like that, but and they got waivers for it, which you know I couldn't imagine being some star of an actor or just someone at the guild in Hollywood go like, whoa, I thought we weren't working. Oh, it's not for the studio. Can I get one of them waivers? Nope. No, you cannot. I just want to do
good if it wasn't for a studio. That I mean, that's the real big deal is that they're trying to strike against the studios.
Correct. But the thing is, they gave up a lot of confusion because the week prior, during like when the Comic Con and everything else, they were trying to get when the Barbie and Oppenheimer movies coming out, they gave some very unclear instructions to people for cosplaying and doing different things like that with studios. It was very unclear, and it was actually almost the verge of threatening other people not to be able to do anything, and then also turned off people into snitch culture. With the whole idea of like doing things on YouTube and stuff like that. So I don't know. But sorry, Ryan, I cut you off.
No, that's pretty much all I was saying. I was just kind of point out that they're really fighting. They don't want their people to starve. I mean, they want them to get out and work if they can, but they can't. They're just fighting against the studios because the studios are the ones that are doing the stuff that they're trying to get resolved. Independence, mm-hmm. as long as the independent productions are not doing the things that the studios are doing, that's when they get the waivers for them.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of the independents are, because they can't pay up front, a lot of them are paying what they need for the residuals. We're like, oh, we're going to get this picked up on a streaming thing, especially with the writer's strike like that. You know, they're going to want their independent or things that they're doing, and they'll be able to command that top dollar for their streaming, something like that. And since they're independent, they're not going to they'll easily write that AI thing, the things for the studio. So right. I get it. It is trying to put pressure on different things, but it seems like these roles are going to be few and far between. And if A-listers are vacuuming them up like big Hoovers and especially influencer sponsorship deals, it's kind of BS trying to tell small time influencers and YouTubers like, hey, you can't do this. Don't do that, you know, because they want it, you know, and then Hoovering it up. That's what I see.
YouTubers aren't part of SAG or AFTRA, are they? I mean, they're...
Yes, certain YouTube channels and YouTubers meet the qualifications to be a SAG AFTRA, and they actually went off and courted these people to join the SAG AFTRA union. Yeah. So your YouTube channel has to be a certain size. You have to have a certain, you have to do like certain things with your YouTube channel. Or you have to have a certain sponsorship deal. You also have to have an agent. There are requirements you have to do for your YouTube channel to actually be a part. And yeah, you meet the requirements, you can get in. And it's something they did.
When do I get my SAG card?
Right, hold on. Do you want to be in the union? Do you want to join the SAG union? Right,
all your puppies don't count as an agent, sir. You have to get a real agent.
My wife is my agent.
Yeah. Ryan Holt joins up and says, sorry, fun. Guys, I'm not a scam. I can't be on the show on Mondays. Unless we talk, I can only be on if we like, I'm independent. I need this AI thing.
Yeah. Hey, I get that insurance. That's what you get, right? You did it for the health insurance.
Is it good health insurance and does it work outside of California?
No, it's good health insurance, but it's like, you know, was it they figured out to qualify for the set for the insurance for the mm-hmm. union insurance, mm-hmm. you have to make like more than $20,000 a year, mm-hmm. and like 80% of the people on the union don't qualify.
Oh, okay, so that explains why they went after YouTubers. Mm-hmm. 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 Yep. But they also threaten the YouTubers and influencers a little, because if you ever wanted to be into the future, you also won't work with the studios right now. So let's say that because as far as I know, no one here is a member of SAG-AFTRA, right? Let's say a big studio. Let's say I don't know. I'll make up one. Disney, right? You know, asked us to write, you know, She-Hulk season 2. Okay. All right. You know, if we did that, right, we would lose the ability to ever join SAG-AFTRA ever again. By the way, Disney, if you do that, I'll fix your show. I'll fix your show. I will fix your show. I will fix the crap out of it. I will fix your show. Don't listen to Reinhold. I will fix you.
Don't worry. I will retcon Secret Invasion.
I will fix Secret Invasion at the same time. To make
Terrence Howard the version that got scrolled, because that made sense.
Yeah, I'll fix Secret Invasion. I'll fix everything. I'll make it so good. I'll make Danny Rand sound like a good character again, because he's going to be a Skrull straight up. I'm going to explain that real quick.
Skrull. That one was a Skrull. Here's the real Danny Rand.
Here's the real Danny Rand.
God, man, I'm just a perma. I mean, you missed the crossover because you won't watch New Worlds, so you missed
that's the jokes on you. I love Lower Decks, and thanks to people with the correct politics of flags, I was able to watch all the Boimler scenes I wanted.
I saw the ones I wanted to see. So get ready.
Yeah. So ha, jokes on you, right?
Good show. You should watch it.
I'm sorry. It's you know, like, it's the other bad Trek makes me really scared and hold on to Lower Decks for dear life. Lower Decks is just like, there is good Trek, right? Right? Boimler, hold me.
And Lower Decks is saying, hey, Strange New Worlds is pretty cool. We'll do a crossover with them. So they say the same thing. Good Trek.
It probably is. But I've just, like I said, I'm going to stick into Lower Decks, and I'm going to pretend nothing else exists.
This is the only Trek for me.
This is the only true Trek right now. This is Strange New Worlds.
I'm going to blaze my glory.
Like, some people, like, I do find some critics that really, like, some initially old Trek heads for some reason hate Lower Decks. They hate it with a fiery passion. I was like, this isn't Star Trek, it's too funny, pop pop pop. Like, I know that's what makes it even better is because it's not Trek. I think if Trek was like this, that it would just be awful. It would be awful. But it's like Deep Space Nine. What makes Deep Space Nine so good is because how stuffy Next Generation and, you know, was. If Next Generation, like, if Deep Space Nine came before Next Generation, like, I don't think Deep Space Nine would have worked. That's me personally. You know, I think Deep Space Nine only worked because of Next Generation, because it was just such a turn.
Not so much it was a turn, so it was also that. Remember when, I don't know if you remember this because I don't know if you were born yet, but when Next Generation came out, there were a lot of people who thought they were ruining Trek by doing it. Right. And there was a lot of concern. Plus the fact that the first season wasn't really the best season of Next Generation. So there was a lot of people who were really, really concerned about that. But once it got out and people were like, comfortable with Trek again being on the air and being produced, that's when they were okay. Deep Space Nine makes sense. It was good to go to, and it was a little different. And you had, I mean, Odo is a great character, and he's always a great actor, and he's been in a bunch of different types of characters for Trek, and
giving him like a full time spot on the show was great. It was amazing. But like, yes, I do remember the fight, because I remember that from like my dad, because he was trying to get me into watching Star Trek, the original series, and I couldn't watch it. I couldn't get into it. So he kind of like, I think he just like bit his lip and watched Next Generation. He got into that, got me into Star Trek, but I really got into Deep Space Nine. That one really pulled me in. So, yeah.
I mean, the way you should be watching Star Trek, and it's not complete yet, but you should be watching Enterprise. The you know, Jeffrey Archer
is what, captain, first? I would not give people Enterprise first.
No, I'm just saying, if you want to watch Star Trek in order,
like, okay,
canonical timeline order, Enterprise first, then Strange New Worlds, then Star Trek. And then after Star Trek, you got to watch Star Trek Continues, which was the fan version that took the... Basically, it took over from where the original series ended and finished out the 5-year mission to the point where now they're, you know, done with the mission at the end of the series. Then you go on to, you know, Next Generation.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if you could watch it that way, because then like the oopsies of plot, some of the plot holes don't make sense though. You know, like the oopsies. Oops. The oopsies.
Oopsie tootsies. There's not really a lot. I mean,
there's not, but they will be glaring at that time. Watch
it like that, like, well, if you watch Strange New Worlds, there's a lot of things they're doing where they're people who are like, wait a minute. This person and this person are acting like they don't know each other, but we know that they know, you know, that sort of thing. Like,
what?
To give you a hint, one of the characters in Strange New Worlds, last name is Khan. Now, she's a descendant of Sun-Yun Khan. So if somebody like that was on the Enterprise for during that run with Pike and Kirk's brother, and they've already worked with James Kirk a couple times. She's actually been, she, you know, she knows James Kirk. Why did Kirk not know who Khan was when he picked him up, right, during the original series? So that's where people are like going, you're messing a little bit here.
Getting too close with to what's the sun going here. On.
And that's when the MIB mind wiper shows up. Yeah. You don't know anything about.
They just forgot.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, like Uhura, right? I feel like they kind of. I did kind of feel like Lower Decks kind of messed with Uhura too much. I enjoyed it, the episode, but I was like, I you know, like they got her kind of relaxing and partying, like, you know, like stuff like that, like what Uhura is known for, stuff like that also. But I was like, I kind of didn't want someone to come from the future to help push that. I was, you know, but I didn't want that, you know, I didn't want it.
Well, what they're doing with Uhura in Strange New World is actually really great. She's an awesome character in the show. Mm-hmm. And she does a really good job.
Yeah. Oh, from the what I've seen from that Strange from the Lower Decks of yes, I loved it. It was amazing. Everyone but Spock. Spock looks weird. Spock looks like he hits the gym.
What's funny is you missed this the episode before that. Spock got turned into a human. Hilarious. Hilarious the episode. They went to like some weird crash thing, and then these ancient people, you know, said, well, we reconstructed him from the wreck, and there were two people on the ship. One of them was human, one of them was malfunctioned, so we just made them, we fixed them and put them back together as a human.
Fixed it.
So he comes out, he's pure human, and he's like, can't control his rage. It's hilarious. He does a great job acting on it, but he was supposed to be doing his engagement ceremony with T'Pring, and that was all kinds of fun because of that. So,
okay, all right.
You gotta watch it. That actually is really good.
See, that seemed like a Lower Deck episode. That seems silly. Okay, that's too much Star Trek. I want that's not stuff. Fun. I don't know. That seems too silly. That seems a little Lower Decky. That seems like that should be on Lower Decks. Personally, but outside, listen, it sounds silly. Unless it's like a, you know, well, it's just a one-off. It's like the
it was just he got returned back to normal.
Oh yeah, the show. Yeah.
Status quo.
Yeah, gotta put the pieces back to where they were. That's the other problem. Like I see, like with
other things ended that change the status quo,
because you have to put all the pieces back, because all the pieces have to be in a certain spot at a certain time, so everything's got to be put back. So
they're playing a little bit. They're having fun with it. They're playing a little bit, but the end of that episode, there was some major things that happened that I don't want to spoil too much, but does play out in the original series later. So they set up some stuff by having that happen to set up stuff later.
Okay. All right.
And Nurse Chapel's killing it. She's great.
It's okay. I'm still going to take your thing with the great assault because of your food choices and TV show likes. Wait. Have to, you know, like preface it all with that.
I mean, I have nowhere to speak. I think the last Western thing I've watched in general was Arcane, and that was basically a Western anime. So that should let you know where I am.
You should watch Nimona. on Netflix. I recommend that. It's
Good Omens 2 just came out.
I've watched Nimona like I think it's like five times now. and then
I haven't crossed the Spider-Verse yet, which I heard was good. I have not watched that. Wow. Didn't watch Wednesday. Didn't watch anything made Western or live action in like the past like 3 years.
I'm gonna recommend you not watch Wednesday. It will piss you off. You'd be like, this show's bait. Tim
Burton's going on the list. Well, according to the internet, it's not. So I know what it is. I know it is, but
it is straight up bait.
I know what you're talking about.
But Burton's going on the list.
but there's a bunch of things that I just haven't watched that I have no like after like Endgame and like the Spider-Man mm-hmm. and like watch it. I think I watched like up to Loki on the TV series and it was just mm-hmm. kind of like I don't care anymore. I just stopped caring for most things.
Yeah, most of it's trash and written by like awful people with like with no originality. You know, it's awful.
Even the good things that like the first couple seasons of The Witcher show, I didn't watch that, even though I heard it was really great show.
Unless you like Henry Cavill abs.
Are you going to say the WandaVision wasn't well written?
No, I liked WandaVision. As I said, WandaVision was the first one, though. That was probably the best of the three I watched. Is WandaVision was good, and then mid. Falcon and Winter Soldier was mid, and then I enjoyed Loki, but the issue is that it ended and how it affected most of the universe kind of just made me shrug.
Like it just shit on everything.
well, I did like Kang and stuff, but most of the movie is just like Loki wants to bang himself, but she's a girl version of himself, and like that's like half of the joke.
Did you see Kang in Ant-Man and Quantumania?
I've seen clips. I haven't watched the movie.
I mean, seriously, the guy they have playing Kang is fucking awesome.
Too bad he's not coming back. They fired him.
No, he's back.
The allegations, why? They fired him. There was he
just found innocent. What are you talking about?
Right? But they have not confirmed that he's coming back as Kang.
I know. They're waiting to find out what happened. If he's been exonerated, so I'm sure he'll be back.
I thought you were going to say he's been Johnny Depp, but yeah. Hey, speaking of exonerations, Kevin Spacey.
Oh God, this is gone.
How's that going to happen? How's that going to come across? I mean, he's found not guilty. Now, does he get uncancelled? Does he get his stuff back? Does he get? Can we watch him now? Yeah, I can watch.
Watch House of Cards again? Yeah, can I watch House of Cards?
Can we get another season?
Can you watch Seven again? Mm.
Yeah, well, Seven was okay because he was such a horrible person in Seven. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that's just a follow to watch. You know, like, think it's American Beauty that you got to ask yourself, can you watch this again? And you try to say, well, it's a girl, so. All right, I'm wrong. That's wrong. Yeah. Yeah. I was in the wrong. Found the lie. But yeah, Kevin Spacey, not guilty, right? Right. So yeah. So and we accept him back with open arms and apologize him.
Yeah, hey, they accepted Mel Gibson back after all he did.
That's different. He was going after them. Okay. Who's them though? Yeah. Yeah.
So the writer's strike and the actor's strike. All right. One of the things that the whole residuals from streaming thing,
mm-hmm.
I can understand where they're coming from,
mm-hmm.
because of the premise of when you originally started writing, you were writing in your contract was for a particular thing of you writing a serialized thing on television. And then something came out of nowhere that was out of your idea of what could happen. And then you just kind of get shafted by it, by them all switching to it. It's like if you were a writer and you, in your contract, when you sign for it, they're like, yeah, any book you get, this is just a random number. Every book you sell, you get a dollar off of that book. Every audiobook played, you get a dollar off of that book. Cool, cool, cool. And then they go, cool, but digital downloads of that book, you get nothing. It's like, but it's still my work. I still wrote it. And it's part of, it's basically you selling my book, but in a digital form. It's like, yeah, but go fuck yourself.
So, well, remember what happened to Scarlett Johansson, right? She did that Black Widow movie, the pandemic hit. They didn't release it in theaters. They released it on streaming. Her deal was she got points based off of how well it did at the box office. So since it wasn't at the box office, she got screwed. So she had to sue them to even to get money for the work she did, even though the studio is making money off of what, you know. And that's the thing is that everybody's talking about, well, should these people get this much money or should you get this for residuals and stuff like that? If the studio is making money off that work, they deserve the money off the work, right? The studios are making so much money. I mean, do we want to let them just keep that money and make more money? Because they're not going to, you know, lower ticket prices. They're not going to make things cheaper. They're not going to cut back on advertising because they're not paying the actors anymore, right? So, and it's to me, it's like, it's like with the football players, right? I mean, we can yell about how this football player is making, you know, $20 million. That should be enough for anybody. Why are they, you know, holding out for more money? Well, when the owners of the teams making, you know, the $100 billion or whatever off of their work, you know, they feel like they deserve more of that, of what that is.
Players
right?
have like CTE and shit. Because they're running backs and they just run headfirst into people and people don't get paid them any money. But it's also, it's in my brain, it feels like it's the evolution of syndication. When somebody wrote, when they wrote a Friends and it goes on syndication, they would get paid residuals every time it showed on television. Why wouldn't they get paid if people can just, instead of it being on a television network, people would just go to a streaming site and watch it? Anyway, it's the same.
That was the big deal with RIAA, remember, was with the music, because music started going to streaming and getting downloaded. And it's like, well, you're not selling an actual CD. You're not going to get any money. So the artist had to get claw and get, you know, some sort of recompensation for the fact that their art's out there. What they did was put out there that they were expecting money for. But because technology changed, they're getting shafted on it.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not as sympathetic to some of the things that they did and who they, you know, all that stuff, but, you know, how they went about it, as it were. But still, I understood that it's still their music and they should still get paid, you know, still get paid for it. And this whole thing about, I'm having a problem a little bit with this whole streaming thing and music side of things because I bought all that music and now you're making me pay, you know, again for it or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But that's besides the point, right? So,
yeah. That's Brian Hole makes a NAS episode. Yeah, Brian Hole eventually will make a NAS and put all his songs there, and then he'll have he'll be his own Spotify again. And
well, the problem is that like I used to have an application that would go like Zune would say, okay, you can play your music on your phone that you've got from your CD. You can convert it to digital. You can play it on your phone. Those apps are gone now. You can't do that anymore.
Oh man, did you remember very back in easily. The day? Day when Apple did this, and they like there was a we lost some Jerry Garcia like master recordings because of it. So like oh man, so like this is like because you know people liked Apple, right? They liked iTunes, right? And it was doing like this syncing thing. So people would like I've got this I've got this live recording, right? You know, it's just recorded. It's the exact same song, right? Like, but it's just, it's live. It's better. It's like recorded it with a microphone. But Apple saw it as like, oh, we have that here. Delete. Send them this. So they deleted the live recording and sent to the studio. and not like a raw image, not FLAC, MP3 quality cut. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Not lucky that person.
No raw. Terrible.
Yep. I wonder if I could find that article. But yo, no. All right. So I'm with you there. I think the lawyers and any judge does that, like, doesn't understand to see that's the same as type of view. I think it's scummy. I think it's very scummy to be able to allow that to go. I also view that I think from this is also going to be kind of bad or twofold, also a good thing too, because I think the streaming sites will have to end up having to be more transparent with its numbers. I think that is what's going to be one of those things that have to do come up, is because it's like, you know, like if, you know, if let's say like TV show Friends, Lisa Kudrow, right? Mm-hmm. She, you know, they gets paid this much every time Friends is on TV. Okay, that's fine. But they're paying for a TV spot, everything like this, money, the ads, everything that money's going to be there. When it comes to like stream, like it's basically someone has to click on it, someone has to watch it. Just like, hey, they have to choose to watch that, right? But then it's also like the price breakdown on what you can watch based off the streaming site, you know? Because if you know, let's take like a bit of stuff like that. Like with my $20 a month to my streaming site that I pay, you know, like I'm watching like with my, cause it's uses my whole household. I'm watching like hundreds of content on that thing. Like how many fractions did you just track on like my $20? You know, like how much are you really going to get out of my $20? This blood from the stone thing that you're going to like, is the money really there? You know, like is the half the money that the streaming sites have, is it fictitious? Does it really exist there? Or are people all watching the exact same thing all the time? What's going on? Like it's, there's a lot of smoky mirrors going on that, I think the clarity that the guild want, I think also us as people, as investors into different streaming sites and viewers just want to know, like, why would people are actually watching this? What's the metrics behind Netflix's top? Oh, these top 10 of country. That's
it. Right. It's like looking at how, you know, Disney Plus is hemorrhaging money. You don't want to be on Disney Plus because that streaming site is hemorrhaging money.
Hemorrhaging Paramount Plus, hemorrhaging money. Okay, all right. I think they probably realize it's like, listen, like, I may hate Netflix sometimes, but it's got a lot of the content that I want. And if I don't got it on Netflix, I probably got it Amazon Prime, which I need for the Prime shipping. And if it's not there, I got Tubi. What are you gonna get this? Nah, I can wait. I got Tubi.
Well, like, you have to understand, like that there were the ones that got in early, right? Mm-hmm. There's Hulu and Netflix. Mm-hmm. Which got in early, so they have an established fan base. And even though Hulu is not as popular as for Netflix,
yeah,
it's still a consistent thing that people go to and have originals and have content that way. And Amazon Prime is Amazon, so Amazon don't care, baby. Amazon don't care, baby.
it's part of the Amazon World Domination Tour, okay?
Yeah. So then you have a bunch of other fractures of websites trying to grab from those three bigger markets, and they have to specialize. We have stuff like Crunchyroll, which is only anime. Mm-hmm. High Dive, which is only anime, which is, you know, and High Dive gets exclusivity to anime, so that way people have to go to their site to watch stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Retro Junk. It's all the retro anime.
The old things that people haven't seen in a long time.
They got rid of their ad tier list now, which sucks. You know, so that actually gives them cash. Sucks to watch my retro junk. and like more of it's just more of like, I don't feel like grabbing a VHS tape from the basement. I just want to watch the show.
But there's also a lot of them are losing, you know, faith in things. So like with Max, that's what it's called now. The HBO Max. It's just Max. Whatever.
Yeah, the Max. Yeah.
The Max. Yeah.
See, here's the thing too. Just real quick before you go. I thought that was the worst marketing decision of the last 20 years. Until X came around.
Confirmed. Reinhold watches X videos.
Don't worry, Reinhold. X has got even funnier because their new tagline is "Blaze Your Glory." Because you know,
it's like they. So here's an I'm tangenting real quick, but that's the way my brain works, right? But the funniest thing is that the word tweeting something, mm-hmm. had been added to the dictionary as a verb for as an acceptable use, right? You tweeted this to somebody. You tweeted that's like Xerox going, hey, you know, we got, you know, when you Xerox something to somebody, well, we're going to change our name from Xerox to something else. That would be the dumbest thing, right? I mean,
yeah, that would be dumb.
The fact that this is your company name is the verb you use for that industry.
I just like the fact that people are treating it like Prince. They're treating it like Prince, calling it the website formerly known as Twitter. Almost everybody I see there talk about it, it's like the website formerly known as Twitter, and they don't want to call it X because X is stupid. But anyway,
it is like, stupid. You know, I know. I'm gonna get on X video here.
It's not allowed. It's not allowed on the network now because the rules that the name X isn't a valid one, so they can't.
You can't even do
call it X on in the Apple Store,
dude. Like the
go back to what you were saying.
No, the logo changed. Like so, like I got the update for Twitter on my Android VM, right? And I thought I had a fucking virus because all it was just X in the middle of the damn thing. I'm like, oh shit! My VM. I'm like, oh, the Twitter app updated. It's just like, oh my god, someone hacked my VM.
But like with Max going out of their way to just get rid of a bunch of content and making it so that things are just gone without the rights reverting back to the original creators makes it even worse on top of that. So yeah, when you have people who make like the person who made Infinity Train, the only way people can watch it is if they pirate it. Mm-hmm. The only way you can watch it at all is if you buy the DVD or Blu-ray, which is expensive. And that's how anime works. That's the only reason anime is profitable in Japan, because Japan loves their Blu-rays. They buy a fuck ton of Blu-rays. It's insane. But
I want to watch Bosom Buddies. I can't.
No.
It's not available streaming anywhere. Mm-mm. There's a lot of shows that I grew up watching that I would love to go back and watch again, but I just cannot do it unless I go pirate it. Right? And what do you, you know... It's like I would never pirate a single TV show or movie. I'd pay for it if it's available. But when you don't make it even available to view, you know, then you get what you get, you know.
But yeah, it's
Reinhold, just what you get, what you deserve.
Exactly.
Yeah, getting clarity from what the streaming sites do. And it's also, like, for me, it's very important that if they can, that getting those residuals for the things they created, even if it's, you know, the couple cents of an episode that people watch, you know, it's still, they put their work into it. They should get something out of it. You know, even if they get a check every month, that's like, here's $2,000. 'Cause people decided to binge House for the seventh time this month. You know.
I mean, you see all the stories about people who get residual checks for like 5 cents, you know, for something they did 20 years ago. I mean, it's just that's just the nature of it, right? But I think that the concerns of the studio is that they don't know how they're monetizing it. Everything's still kind of in flux on the monetization on streaming. Right. So they're afraid you're going to sign a contract and end up giving these guys way more money, and then they're going to be losing money on the deal. I mean, that's really their concern. I kind of get that, but you got to remember who's causing that flux in the monetization aspect. Is you're trying to maximize everything you can out of it, Disney. Right? So they're doing all kinds of, like, we used to pay for cable and you get all the channels on it. Now we're like, we just wanted to pick what we want and have a la carte. Well, we got that, and it's great. But now I'm paying for Paramount Plus and Amazon and Netflix and Disney, and you know, it's like. And Max, and it's at some point, how much am I paying more now for cable than I was before?
Maybe you are. My pirate flag stays up. I mean, I go to the public library.
I pay for one, and then then everybody else I know pays for one, and we share.
Right, but you watch one thing. You watch basically just watch anime stuff, right? I mean, you're not watching all the stuff that I watch.
But even
I
then,
watch all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, even there, like, and there are some anime exclusive to different streaming sites and all that kind of stuff. But you know, there's ways around that. You know,
now Reinhold, they have anime like Bosom Buddies. If you really like Bosom Buddies, I can recommend you some anime.
Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari are just fun to watch. I'm sorry. There's, you're not matching that with some anime.
I don't know.
Those two guys, man. Fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's,
can't beat Tom Hanks. Can you beat Tom Hanks, man? It's the guy.
Very easily. Basketball. You know.
who is a better Geppetto?
He may get me in shrimp boating. Okay. Peeing.
How many times you met the president? Oh.
Three, actually. What? Thanks for asking.
The real president, not that fake one. Don't on know TV.
How many different presidents? The same one three times.
Yeah, man. Oh, well. I had a bad joke I was going to say there right now, but I'm not going to say it.
Save it. We'll come back to it.
No, I'll tell y'all after.
We'll yeah, save it. We'll come back to it later.
Yeah. But. Sorry. But yeah, but I also feel you are too, because like, yes, the studios are kind of scared because like right now, like don't really have good numbers on what they're going to get. They can actually pay someone for streaming. Also, the price of streaming things have gotten in flux because of bandwidth, storage costs of all this, you know, it's, you know, they're
also not the movies.
And they're not releasing. And they're also not releasing good numbers. Like we talked about when you walked off, it's like the studios aren't, like the streaming services aren't releasing numbers. We have no idea. I think the only person, unfortunately, that's giving great numbers is Alpha Goog from YouTube saying, like, yes, 15 million people have watched this. You know, I think if Netflix and Disney, they put this out there, like, okay, yeah, how many of you actually bought this? And it's like, okay, yeah, yeah. Why aren't the residuals for these up there? Like 30 million people have rewatched the classic Little Mermaid, and 20 million people watched the new Little Mermaid movie, you know, which, oh, by the way, so my daughter watched the huge fight because my daughter loves the new Little Mermaid. My wife hates that, wants to watch the old Little Mermaid. My daughter's like, that's not the real Little Mermaid. This is a little room whereby, and it's hilarious. I love it. It's
hilarious. Neither one of them are the real one. Go back to the original Hans Christian Andersen.
Well, neither one of them dissolves in the water in sadness.
So when Brian Holt comes in, let me show you the real story.
Let me show you the real Cinderella. Here's the stepsisters getting their eyes pecked out by crows.
Oh my God.
And then hacking their feet Red Riding Hood. Get bit into the slippers.
Movie studios aren't really good at figuring out how much their movie's going to make because, I mean, look at how many times they put movies out that are just tanked. Because they're not good at figuring out what consumers want.
It's a combination of not knowing what the consumers want. Talking about My Little Mermaid. Oh, Chrissy. but it's not just that. It's them not knowing how to market their things as well. Yeah. Like,
or market it, or just, you know, they mess with the creative process too much, obviously. But, like,
yeah.
There's this great meme I saw yesterday where it was like, you know, studio saying, we love this. It's well, this is completely different. No one's ever done this before. Now, how can we change it to make it fit, you know, what everybody else has done so we know it can make money, right? I mean, that's right. The thinking.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find, you know, a studio willing to take the chance on that. And so the idea that they have a good understanding of how much they should be paying people because, I mean, there's still a lot of just bad executives in Hollywood. And, like, the fact that they're making money and keeping the actors from making money to make their numbers look better, to make their profit margin look better, is not the way to go. You make better movies and you market it well, and you you know, you give people chances to put something out there, and if it flops, it flops. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But
my favorite most recent marketing issue that happened was with The Flash, where one of the producers says, the move Ezra Miller is so good, you forget about all of his kidnapping and abuse accusations.
No, you don't. He ain't that good.
And it's like, bruh.
He ain't Kevin Spacey. Anyway,
terrible. Fucking terrible.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, they also don't know how to like write for movies. Like, they get a lot of people who don't respect a lot of their source material, stuff like that, or they respect it in a very weird way. I will say that I'll put this out in the ether. I think the only way we can figure out why anime never adapts to live action, I think we need to get a good live action movie and adapt it to anime, and I think it should be Mission Impossible.
Harry, it exists. It's called Speed Racer.
Oh man, Speed Racer's so good. That movie's so good. Once you take out the crappy soundtrack that the movie came out with and add Initial D to it, so better, so much better.
The Speed Racer movie was basically Speed Racer.
It's so good though.
It felt so Speed Racer.
Yeah,
and it's the Coens, and they're like, "Here you go."
Yeah, it's so good. Like my wife didn't watch it. I'm sitting there like watching it with my daughters. She's like, "What is this movie?" I'm like,
and apparently, Alita Battle Angel was good enough that they already announced like 2 sequels.
Nice. So.
Okay, but, so, movies that are in
so it's just Netflix. Pipeline. So it's just Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix is terrible at it, and Japan is too. They want to turn their own things into live action.
Hey, the Rurouni Kenshin one.
Yeah,
he's mid.
The Full Metal Alchemist one, and talk to me there.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to lose weight. No. The thing that got me with the Rurouni Kenshin, because it looks solid up until you really watch the choreographed swordplay and you wonder, like, why is he using a reverse grip on a reverse blade sword? This is too much reverse. It's too much reverse. This is stupid. This is dumb. And why would he use the reverse grip? There's too many YouTube videos that says, like, this is bad. There's so many, like, this. You don't reverse grip your sword. You don't do this because this is better. Why would I do this?
It's cinematic, though. That's the whole point.
No. He did do it in the. You let the guy in the from the anime to live action. Let him do the stupid technique where he holds his knives like that and spin really fast. They allowed that. She's like, okay, cool. That's an anime thing. Okay, well, we'll let that go. But you motherfucker,
right? Like, there's plenty of anime things, like Death the Kid firing 2 Desert Eagles with his pinky.
That's
with no recoil.
Oh, that's the traps. See, you gotta work them arms. Work them arms, right? You gotta like lock them with the rats in there.
But
he doesn't skip back to either.
But I feel like the residual finishing that concept is that the residual thing is very important, and you can see what happens when it starts to cave in on itself. Mm-hmm. When you look at the comic book industry, mm-hmm. because they have to keep making new characters. Each writer has to make a new character for them to get residuals off of, because mm-hmm. if they use old characters, the original creator gets residuals. So mm-hmm. for them to get money, they create new characters all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. why you got, you know, Punchline, who is just Harley Quinn if she was an influencer. Which is a real character. This is not even a joke. It's a real ass character.
That's trash. That's trash.
And she's like Joker sidekick, and then you get, and she exists because, if I make this character and they take off, I get a bunch of money because, you know, I created it. Paul Dano is probably so happy he created Harley Quinn in the Batman the Animated Series, because he's getting bank
every time
because they made her the fourth pillar of the DC universe
for reasons.
There are 4 seasons of the Harley Quinn show,
which is good, Which fucking gold.
For 4 seasons.
All gold. All gold. Some of the best thing DC ever did out.
They are making a Suicide Squad isekai anime mainly focusing on Harley Quinn. He is making bank.
Hopefully he's making bank. We don't know.
I mean, that's the big thing, is that it's why you keep seeing when different people come into power to control making the movies, is why you keep getting all these newer characters or characters that people don't really know very well. Like when you look at, like for Into the Spider-Verse, it makes sense for them to add Genki because Genki was Miles's best friend. So in every game that has Miles, they have Genki. So in the Spider-Man Miles Morales game, Genki's there, and he's a main part of the plot in Spider-Man 2. So it totally makes sense. But if they decide to shoehorn in a new villain for no reason, what's the point?
So, anyways, I'm going to shoehorn in my self-insert character.
Sorry, it's a canon event. I'm sorry.
Sorry, this has always been Spider-Man's best friend. He's right here. He's always been here. Always.
Yeah, it's like, Parker's known him since childhood. Don't you know?
Yeah, let me write this in. Integral to the part.
The most important character.
But no. Matter of fact, he's the real one that made the suit. Let me show you.
Literally in the comics, after Peter got his body back from Doc Ock,
I forgot about that. It
blew up Parker Industries and all that fun stuff. One of the things they did was that they created like a Carnage goblin suit called the Red Goblin that went on Harry Osborn's son. Because they created Harry Osborn's son and made him the Red Goblin for whatever reason. It's like, I don't know, man. They gave Eddie Brock a son so that way he could be like in tune with all the symbiotes ever. And it's like, are you guys doing?
So they just did the meme, like, so he's got a son now.
Yes.
They just did the meme. Why'd you do the meme?
Well, yeah, the residuals. I feel like that's one of the more important things. Once they figure out how streaming is paying, and that way the writers get their fair cut of the things, the writers and the actors get their fair cuts of the things that they've created, I feel like that's massively important. Also, willingly taking people's identity and holding it and allowing yourself to use it as background characters in other movies is horrifying, terrifying, and terrible. And I hate that. That's the thing that bothers me the most. It's like, I own your likeness.
I know, yeah.
That's what they did to Crispin Glover in Back to the Future 2, right? They used a stand-in and then imaged his face over the top of it.
Sick. And
Sick.
I think he sued him for it.
Good. Yeah. Hope he gets paid. That's sick.
Yeah, who was it?
But it's also really cool.
Streetcar Named Desire, the main guy from that. Who am I thinking of?
Streetcar Named Desire? What?
That actor who passed, and I cannot remember his name off the top of my head.
What, Paul Walker?
No.
Streetcar Named Desire was Marlon Brando.
That's it, Marlon Brando. They were trying to get their estate to have Marlon Brando be a main character in a movie where they just put him digitally over somebody else in the movie.
Well, that's gross.
Yeah. So that's what makes it very weird. And like Timberland using like an AI to make a Biggie song, which he did do
Here's the thing. I don't mind some of that stuff as long as the people who own the likeness have a say in it and they agree to it. Like, there are times where that makes sense to do. like you're wanting to do a movie and you want to pay homage to that actor who was in those movies, you know, and then you bring him in to do something, you know, do some stuff and good to go because they've passed or something. I mean, that makes a lot more sense. Like Doctor Who would be great with some of that stuff, you know, bring some of the older doctors. They've been bringing the older doctors in, but they're aged, right? So if you could bring back the way they used to look and do some interactions and have some fun stuff happen, that would be great. But you want to make sure you get those actors okay to do it. They're blessing to do it, right?
In my brain, it's just like, why not just make it animated then?
Yeah, I think that's our other issue.
They just don't want to watch anime. They want to watch the real anime. They want to watch the real life stuff.
But it's not real anymore.
The technology exists, though, so why not do it? What's the difference, right? It's the technology's there. It doesn't look, I mean, when they did the Tron thing and they de-aged and all that stuff, it was kind of but when they did Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that de-aging actually looked really good, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I could see doing that stuff,
but in my brain, it's more of let's say you're making a movie and they decide to cast two. They said they wanted the main characters to be Marlon Brando and Marilyn Monroe, and they just CGI them into the movie. Why not just make it animated at that point? Because that's what you're doing. You're making an animated thing, but just putting animated faces over human beings. It's the exact same thing.
Because it's not. Because there's a difference between animated and real life likeness. You know, you can't look at an anime and say, "Oh, that looks like real life." Come on, I mean it's.
I'm not saying it's not straight anime. It's more of like animation in general. It doesn't have to be anime.
Even regular animation can't capture real life look right. I mean, without a lot of work. I mean, you can do it, but it's a lot of work. Whereas you can take. And if you were to take a movie and you were to put Marlon Brando and Marilyn Monroe in it, as long as the states of those two people are okay with it, I don't see nothing wrong with it. It might be fun. It might be a cool thing to see happen. I don't know if I'd watch a whole movie with them on there because it's not ever going to be them acting unless they can do some really good AI at this point, going back and watching all, you know, inputting in all of their, you know, past performances and the interviews and things like that. Maybe you could come up with something that would be more realistic, but for a little quick hit spot here or there, or for a cameo type thing, I mean, it's nothing wrong with that. As long as you get the permissions. When you try to do it without permissions, like they did to Crispin Glover, that's where you get into the issue, in my opinion.
We're about 10 to 15 years out of Frank Sinatra selling his VPN ad. So,
they already done this though? I mean, they've had commercials, like they had Nat King Cole singing with his daughter in a commercial. It was that 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that?
Yep.
I mean, they can do that. They have done it. It's not, I don't think, as big a deal as long as, I said, you get the permissions of the people who own that estate and they're okay with it.
Yeah, just like
that. And there are times I think it's completely appropriate, like certain movie franchise or certain, you know, like they're bringing something or doing something with a movie that actor was very key in and was very important to, you know, and they want to bring him in for a quick cameo or something to help the plot or make the movie interesting. I think that's a great idea, but, you know, I don't know about trying to recreate, like if you were trying to recreate Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder, and I don't know if I'd watch a whole movie of Gene Wilder doing that, you know what I'm saying? But if you had him cameo in for 4 or 5 minutes, that might be cool.
All right. Well, we're going to end this here because, because Brian Hill's given me hope that my Batman, the real Batman, Kevin Conroy, can give us another movie again if fate allows us to. So,
you know,
they have enough. They have enough footage of his voice. They could do it.
Yeah, they have like 8 games and the animated series and all the animated movies he did. He has a lot of stuff dialogue into
computer. They could pump out the text-to-speech stuff these days is incredible. You can go to do AI stuff. You can make a video. Like, there are people who make YouTube videos with AI text-to-speech, and it's horrible. But nowadays, you can go to these websites and do it, and it sounds like somebody talking. You can use that voice. You can import your own voice into there and write your own podcast. Mm-hmm. So I could write up a podcast with my voice on it. I have enough talking into the storage. Mm-hmm. And I could just write it and then let the computer make the actual audio podcast, right? And they get some video stuff and get pictures of the face, and then I could de-age it down to what I used to look like when I was in high school, and I could have a video podcast of it, and I could be writing it all, and all you have to do is write it and push some buttons and let the work in the background. Sounds like a great future to me. Yeah. I'll probably be, you know, gone before we realize it.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, don't worry about that, Skips. Anyway, so yeah, let's end this episode here. Thank you guys all for listening to this episode. If you got this far in the episode, thank you. You're the true troopers. You could have been listening to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to this, and that I thank you. This is a live recording of our podcast we do on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.com/weare, that's the letter R, libertarians. You can also get us on YouTube at youtube.com/wearelibertarians. Please come hang out with us live. We enjoy that you download this podcast and listen to us while you're doing what you're doing, but, you know, come hang out with live. You know, Christian needs someone else to talk to, okay? All right? That being said, I don't think we, you know, we got some exciting things coming down the pipe. This thing, I do want to do some more Reinhold Explains coming up. I've got those things planned, and I get access to doing stuff with more StreamYard, and I got full access to the YouTube channel. So, yeah, I got some good things coming up.
So, I'm getting those SAG cards. Let's go.
Not joining SAG. I'm sorry. I don't do.
Next week, I'll be computer generated.
See here, I'm glad you said Disney, because the Screenwriters Guild was texting me, telling me to be careful what I was saying. So.
So goodbye, everybody. First, say goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, I thought you just ended it. Goodbye.